talks about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How we doing? How we doing? I never thought I'd be so disappointed to be in third place. Never thought I'd feel so bad about a draw. Can't believe it worked out the way it did, but we are rolling into Sunday. Last day of the season in third place. Somehow, some way.
Look, was it 11 games unbeaten in the league, I think is the record. Somebody fact checked me there. It was 19. That ended with the FA Cup, but I believe in the league it's 11. I didn't think we'd be here. We talk about restarting. We didn't know what would happen. If you were to ask Manchester United fans, when and you're in against Leicester for top four, we all would have taken it. I think that's the takeaway. Look, West Ham not pretty. Southampton dropping a point. That was tough. Didn't look great against Crystal Palace. Lost to Chelsea. Tough to swallow looking at this haggard group of players right now. But you have to look at what's at stake. It's one game, 90 minutes. Lads better show up. Manchester United, when and we're in.
It's not about the past. It's about where we're going.
Exactly.
And everything is left to play for. No hard feelings. I mean, we all felt disappointed. It was like, came out hot, and then the boys faded. You could see the tired legs. Greenwood with a goal, but the point, I didn't feel like it was going to be enough. When I watched that game, I was fuming.
Really?
Boiling over.
So we
boiling over. Who would have thought?
We actually haven't talked about the game at all. Sir, you've been pretty busy with work today, which is kind of good that we're just... it was stressful towards the end, but knowing what the draw got us, which is essentially, you know, out of the nine scenarios that we're facing, seven and we're in, only two, we get bounced. Both of those where we lose. If we lose, the Wolves win, we're in. So as far as what I'm seeing is like, you're not going to clinch it today. If clinching it today was lost, I would probably be in the mad camp. I didn't like what I saw. It was a tough game, but it's a result. This is a results-based business. The bookies have us odds on to get it on the final day. And if everyone gets it on the final day, no one's going to be thinking about today.
They aren't. And you know what?
Not at all.
I think I've just been cranking too hard all day, sir. That's why I'm a little salty. I just went from the drop points and to even just like straight into it. Didn't even get to watch the game that mattered with Chelsky just dropping points. That was great to see.
That was great.
Pulley just trying his best, like clawed back. Good for him. He looked lights out, but... thankfully, the Scouse bastards did us a favor. So, third place. Hey, we're just having a beer.
Third place? Are you kidding me? Sir, enjoy that Guinness.
I got it.
Have a sip or two here. You got to calm down. I looked at the Twitterverse just for a second before we started recording.
How bad?
Salty.
I bet.
It's a lot of salt out there for Manchester United fans, and I hear you. It's been a rough season. Even if we draw Leicester, we tie our worst points total of all time in the Premier League era, and... it wasn't great. It wasn't a great season, but it's down to a final game. So let's watch the final game, and then if we miss out, we can bitch all day.
I like that.
But you can't be grumpy now and then win and you're in and then be happy. It's just kind of like you got to see what's at stake. It's been a long run, project restart, everything. But, you know, Leicester's going to be fresh. Vardy's going to be fresh. We'll get into the bookies' odds, the way they see it. Very interesting.
John, you've clearly matured. You know, I think having a son... and just getting older brings wisdom because that's the right attitude. Why get disappointed now, get tough on the team when everything's still left to play for? It's like we could end on a resounding high or we could just crash down like last season. And that's what's getting me nervous, right? Those wheels,
exactly.
They are wobbling because those boys look tired and we're really just leaning on that same starting 11. But we're in a good position. It's like last season to a certain extent, right? All the teams around us, I think if you look at Leicester and you look at Chelsea, they lost two of the last three games where we drew two of the last three games. And those points could end up being vital, right? So this last game, everything left to play for. And as much as Manchester United fans are moaning, me, myself included, things are looking a little bit bright at the moment.
It's been a hell of a run, though. You have to admit, since Project Restart, we have exceeded expectations of the team. you know.
No doubt.
And obviously Leicester's been fallen. The defender, I can't even pronounce his name, with the red card. So their back is like Swiss cheese. They don't have James Maddison. Really, it's Jamie Vardy against Harry Maguire and Lindelof. That makes me sweat. But you just got to roll the dice and let the best team win. That's just the way it is. We're going to have both games on. Ooh. Cheering for Wolves. A big Wolves fan.
Huge Wolves fan.
Wolves win, and we're good, basically. So
no matter what.
If Wolves win, we don't need to win. And so we're going to be cheering on Wolves.
Let's win.
Chelsea, hopefully they blow it. We're going to be watching Manchester United. This is why we're a fan of this team. This is why they play all the games simultaneously on the last day of the season. I love it when it comes down to it. We've won titles on the last day of the season. How come we can't make top four?
Squeaky bum time. That's what they call it. And that's when your medal is truly measured. And Ole, you know, last year it didn't go so well. This year they're in pole position, right?
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I don't want to put any more pressure on him. He knows all the pressure that's on him. It's a $100 million game, right?
Not sure if Ole's a listener, but
he's not a listener. He's not listening. He's got better things to do. But this is this game is massive.
Yeah, but if we're in this position, it all comes down to this. Like, let's just watch the game. It's gonna be a hell of a thrill ride, up or down, and every goal, everything that's gonna happen on Sunday is just gonna be a wild ride. And enjoy. That's all I gotta say.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. I calculate all the scenarios.
Every single one.
The majority of the time we get in. It'd be really cruel if we didn't. That's all I gotta say. Quick PSA for the podcast. You guys know it. If you listen, please drop a review on iTunes. We're sending out free American Red Devils stickers. All you need to do is take a screenshot of the review. Email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Put some cheeky banner. 5 stars goes a long way to helping us get found organically. Also, check out the blog, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have some great fan content from our fan contributors. Shout out to all of them. Thank you for writing on the blog. We're trying to get the fan perspective out there. We're independent content, baby. That's why there's no ads, no nothing, no one pulling the strings. Just me and Alex in the bunker here, sweating it out.
Bunking. Just bunking in the bunker. Hoping that we've got a nice summer ahead of us, flush with cash, but relative basis versus where it could be if we miss out on Champions League, because that could be a bleak summer, I'll tell you that. So the hopes of having a bunker year and, you know, getting Sancho and then some, I think are, you know, we know how dependent it is on this game. So can't wait.
PSA's not done. You got to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got some great merchandise as well on our store, AmericanRedDevils.com. I think that's it. We do it for the love of the game, sir. We have no sponsors. Maui Jim came. They offered us a boatload of cash. Turn them down.
Not a fan. It's not his preferred sunglass or purveyor, but we appreciate the fans, the best fans in the world. You guys really are. And we got everything left to play for. So we're excited. Final push. And then hopefully it's not up to Europa League in August.
Let's not even. We'll get there after the next pod, sir. Next pod. Next match, we got a breakdown. We talked about it. Manchester United 1, West Ham 1, Old Trafford. Game week 37, we are getting up there. I can't believe it. Lineup, Dave saves in net. Wan-Bissaka actually did not start. Fosu Mensah started. Lindelof, Maguire, Williams, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, Martial, Rashford. Alex trolling me with these fake lineups here.
Trying to keep you on your toes. Clearly, this guy doesn't miss a beat. Sir, apologies. It was a hell of a day. But good catch. Fosu Mensah with a start was probably the biggest shocker.
Yep.
B-dubs coming in for Shaw. Still hasn't made it. Hopefully he does by Leicester. And it's that same front six. Can't count tonight. Who else you got, right? You got to play with them because they're the team that want to go out there and win.
Did you think that we could do it with Fosu Mensah in there? That was the surprise for me. I don't know why Wan-Bissaka wouldn't feature. Clearly he's been playing all the time. Ole trying to get him rest. Rumors of a knock. That was only on Twitter, so who knows, but he did come on the pitch, so I think it's just rest.
Yeah, I think he's been playing a lot of minutes, right? If you looked at his performances over the course of the restart, you know, there's been a little bit of a dip in AWB's play, and I don't think Fosu Mensah had a terrible game. I just think, like, bad yellow card to give away, and then you got to yank him because he was out for nothing going forward.
I think it's because we missed Luke Shaw. I think Luke Shaw gives us balance, overlap with Rashford, take him out of the team. Williams wasn't really able to do it. I like Brandon Williams. Honestly, that type of head injury, I don't know if he's even right to be playing. He's doing a hell of a job. Had that great turnaround on the touchline. Almost led to a goal there. So it's like, I just think we're missing Luke Shaw. not having Wan-Bissaka, Fosu-Mensah, and Williams, I thought that would limit us quite a bit. And then you start getting into that Pogba to Matic play, trying to break down a West Ham is pretty organized. So actually, we thought we might struggle. It just depends on that early goal. If the ball bounced our way, first 25 minutes, we get a goal, we could get three, easy as you like. But, you know, that wasn't meant to be.
Got to be clinical. You know, that's what this team was at the beginning of the restart, and that's why we were so effective, is we were taking our chances, and it hasn't really been the same recently.
Yeah, and when the ball's coming your way and you're in a wall on a free kick, you just take it to the dome, jumping in first half. United come out strong. We look sharp. That's what I want to see from the boys. Big difference than against Crystal Palace. We came out lethargic, same with Chelsea. This, we kind of came out with intent. I liked it. Pogba, Matic on the ball. Bruno getting some nice touches. Second minute, great shot from Martial, parried away. I mean, we looked like we wanted to win. This is what I wanted to see from Manchester United. Third minute, Greenwood gets a decent chance for him. Doesn't connect too well on that strike. 11th minute, dangerous ball from West Ham off a free kick. These things going through our defense like Swiss cheese. De Gea's not playing him. Center back's not playing him. My heart skips a beat every time. It's just like,
every game. Time.
Leicester should be watching because I don't know why our defenders are afraid to hit a cross coming in, but it just goes through everybody.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with that Harry Maguire own goal a couple games ago. So that's in the back of their head.
30th minute, big tackle from Matic with West Ham on the break. Matic breaking up play. Some people criticized him, but I think he played decent today. I just don't think it was the type of game, the pace of game, a lot of possession for United. Not a lot of, he kind of was caught forward on the ball, took too many touches. That's what people are complaining about.
I mean, of all the people that criticize, I don't think it'd be Matic. For me, players who've had great restarts, Paul Pogba and Rashford didn't have the best day today at the office for me. So I don't know. I wouldn't
think it's harsh to criticize any individual.
No, I mean, that's what you were being asked to do. So, but like, yeah, they all played, you know, they've been playing a lot of games. The players are tired. But if you're going to be critical, just like it wasn't Paul's and Marcus's best day.
No, I mean, I would echo that. Rashford got criticism from Evra. Paul's getting criticism from pretty much everybody. That's just how it works when you're a professional footballer. 36 minute, better tempo to the end of half. Rashford had a nice hit, dipping, swerving, diving. I thought this had a chance. 39th minute, great play from B-Dubs, like we talked, that touchline. Not quite Berbatov-esque, but falls to Greenwood. Shot is blocked. This one, another great opportunity. Sir, I thought we were kind of growing into the game. We had a lot of the possession in there. Third, we just couldn't find that killer pass. We were too slow on the ball. People taking too many touches. We couldn't really break them down. We weren't that sharp.
Well, I think when we're playing our best, we're real fit and running around the pitch. You know, we're just like trying to expose them into open space. And we can keep it up for like spans of the game at this point in the restart. But they look tired. You know, they came out hot, slowed down for 20 minutes, let West Ham grow into the game. And at the very end, we had a nice barrage until the 46th minute.
No, absolutely. We're going to go through the free kick, the whole VAR, everything here. Let's check it out. 44th minute. Declan Rice just kicked it into the wall. Everything's normal, right? Paul Pogba gets up. I thought it hit him in the head.
For handball. I think that's what they're appealing for, Jim, I think, there. West Ham players. I mean, it's going well wide, the shot. Wow, that's handball. Declan Rice has really struck it well, but
as soon as I saw the replay, I knew it was a penalty. What about you?
It's like something I would do.
And the decision is penalty. And an opportunity for West Ham United to take the lead with just about the last kick of the first half. Big moment for Mikel Antonio. It's a big moment as well for Leicester City. He rolls it past the hair. It's the Hammers that strike first. Another potential twist.
I mean, De Gea needs to save a penalty, but it's not. It doesn't need to be that one. You know, it doesn't save many. It's crazy.
Speaking of trivia, I mean, I don't know. I'm not putting you on the spot. Has he ever saved the penalty for Manchester United?
I looked at the stats. He's off the standard deviation for what is expected from a keeper.
Really?
So definitely he's in the... But you can't rely on him to save it. Pogba, what are you doing? I mean, these types of errors, if it costs us top four at the end of the day, you know, the De Gea error, the lazy defending on the corner. We talk about Southampton. You know, this one, it matters. It all adds up, and individual errors have been a common theme this restart, if there was anything.
I think individual errors have been probably a theme for maybe not Ole, but we've been inconsistent in our performances for sure. And that, you know, we've had a really good restart. We've been the best team in form, if you think about it, even with a loss to Chelsea. But I think it's just like the lack of ability to reach into the bench, have players that are ready to go. And he's just leaning on that starting 11 because it's still working. But it, like I said, it's getting a little shaky near the end.
I do agree. We need to change it up. That was it. Halftime, we go in down a goal. Worst time to give up a goal, you know, similar to Chelsea. How are you feeling going in half?
I was not a happy person. You know, I was like, it wasn't my favorite half of football. You know, I thought we were well in it. This team was beatable. You know, we dominated the first half for parts of it. Paul knows he didn't want to give up that goal, give up that penalty. Feels bad about it. But I thought we would see a United come out hot in the second half. Hasn't always been the case. I don't think we saw it.
Ole had to be slating the players. For me personally, I thought that we could get a goal. I thought we could get the draw. And the draw and the win pretty much leave us in the same position. There is one scenario where the win would help. So it would be 8 out of 9 versus 7 out of 9 scenarios. We'd make it to top 4. So the draw was the really big needle mover for us. Given that we were down a goal, I was like, we can get that. If we sell for the draw, we're in a good position against Leicester on Sunday. That's how I was thinking about it in that moment. So I was, and even I actually thought if we got the goal, we would get another.
Yeah.
Right. I thought we would kind of kick on from there. Might as well just jump in the second half. AWB came on for Fosu-Mensah. Real quick, what do you rate Fosu-Mensah's performance there?
I mean, he played half of football. He got subbed at halftime. So unless it's an injury, it's usually not a good indication of how it went. You know, I thought he looked better last time he played, a week ago. I don't think it was glaring. I just think he took him off because he had the yellow and he was offering very little going forward. And ABWB actually did at spats in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. I think he did a good job. That's what you want from a squad player, Fosu-Mensah, but going forward, that's where we always knew going forward he wasn't going to, you know, do the Ronaldo chop. So, I mean, I actually think he did a job. AWB comes on, gives you that kind of extra dimension on the attacking front, like you mentioned. Didn't take too long in the 48th minute, sir. Mason Greenwood gets his goal. What a shimmy and a shake. 1-2 with Martial. What did you make of that finish?
Unbelievable finish. I mean, just a blast from Greenwood. Just good interplay from the whole team. Good link up as well. And did you ever have any doubt once he got it on his foot that he would just blast it home? I mean, the power that he got off from the shot, unbelievable.
Look, Mason Greenwood is a legendary Manchester United player already. I would say probably some of the most exciting play I've seen from any prospect has come out of Mason. Only 18. It's absolutely stupid, sir. I mean, if you could say he's probably the best thing that happened to United this year.
We're going to do a postmortem when we actually close the year. There's been some good themes throughout. I mean, he's definitely one. I think the development of Martial into like a complete forward, I think Marcus is getting there.
I think Martial's Bruno doing what coming. He should. You know, Martial's kind of meeting expectations. You know, he had that big money fee. Should be scoring that many goals. You know, Mason's kind of like, what do you expect out of Mason? Like a few appearances, maybe like 3-4 goals if you're lucky. And he's just like, I'm going to be RVP, like junior RVP.
I mean, this is Mason Greenwood has been a name that's been talked about at Carrington for like multiple years as like 18. As close as it comes to a sure thing. And there's no 18. Such thing as sure things in football. I know, but they like even more so than Marcus, they were like, this kid's going to be the real deal. He just needed a chance. And he actually lived. I mean, no shame on Angel, but Angel got so much hype and Mason got a ton of hype. Ooh. And then he shows up and just like he looks like one of the finest finishers in the league. At 18, oh, no. I mean, like,
I mean,
both feet.
Another great point is that Euros were delayed a year, so Mason's probably going to get into the Euros. He'll be 19 playing for England, probably starting. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable. So we could talk about Mason Greenwood Mason Greenwood all day, sir. Let's check out the audio of that goal.
Full well that they've got to turn this round. They've got to make it happen. Force it.
trying to do exactly that here. It's Greenwood, and it's 1-1. Big moment for Mason Greenwood. 17th goal of the season, his most important to date, potentially, as Manchester United get back on level terms.
What a great goal. How good is this young man at, in a tight area, getting his shots away and getting his touch right, and making sure that, look at that, couple of sharp touches, and then...
It's unbelievable how quick he hits it, right? He hits it so quickly. He like catches keepers off their balance. Easy as you like. Automatic. Automatic. He puts everything on it.
I mean, he's a talented youngster. He hits the ball so hard. Not even just quick. It went in so fast, that ball. I've never seen anything like it from a player of his age. I mean, he's already in steam company. We're going to get to the stats after the game. But I think he's got another year of being a teenager to break even more records in the Premier League, right?
Oh, yeah. I expect
he's just 18.
Just 18. He'll break every goal scoring record, and probably for a teenager. I mean, who else? Phil Foden? Are you kidding me?
I don't think so.
62nd minute, Dave saves. 68th minute, Declan Rice goes inches over from distance. I thought this was it.
Yes,
I thought this was 2-1, Declan Rice.
No, I know.
This one, I was like, he hit it. I was like, I literally, in my mind, was like, back of the net. Just like.
It was a nice hit. It was a very nice hit. It was not far off.
I just can't. It's just, I'm just like, it's, I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like we're cursed. 85th minute, sub at Gallo FC on for Rashford. Again, not the best day at the office for Rashford. 86th. Great early chance for Gallo. Can't make the most of it. Some say should have left it for Martial. But again, it was tight. If Gallo had a few more minutes on the pitch, he might have been able to finish. And that was it. 1-1. David Moyes walks into Old Trafford, gets the result he needs. West Ham needed a point. They get a point. A little swagger about Moyes as he walking back into Old Trafford, unfortunately.
There
we
was.
Should have beat him bad.
He's been talking a lot of shit, too. He's like, oh, I should have gotten more time.
I hate Moyes.
He doesn't really acknowledge the fact that, like, the greatest manager of all time retires, has the staff there, and he fires all of them for his, like, jabroni Everton staff who've won fuck all. That was the beginning of the end, basically. It was like, if you do that, you should know better. Fergie had an eye for talent.
Yeah, like, literally, I would have shown up and been like, yeah, what did he do? Okay, let's keep doing that. Like, I would have, and I would have called Sir Alex up and been like, yeah, who should we get? Who should we buy?
Who are you getting? Who are you going to sign?
Who should I play this weekend? It would literally be like phoning into him every week. And Moisey, we all know how that went. So either way, he sounds like he's still salty. Kind of pisses me off. He got the result. A little too easy. A little too easy. We should have peppered him. We didn't see that in this match. We didn't see United really create a lot of chances after that goal. I thought after that goal, we'd get another one or two. We'd start, you know, we get that sort of pip, like, energy from putting one in, and we just didn't get it. We didn't show up.
You know, I was a little frustrated because I thought there'd be a little bit more like turning the screw. Classic United, last 20 minutes, we're going to pin him back. It wasn't much of that. And I think now when you see the fact that we're in third place with a draw, maybe Ole was happy, got that goal, and was just like, guys, don't overcommit yourself. Sit back.
But if there was a team that was going to steal it, it looked to be West Ham. That's kind of what pissed me off. So again, I do understand the frustration with people out there talking about this result, because this game in and of itself, not good enough. Paul Pogba, what do you make of that? Everyone's slating him.
It's just, I mean, it happens.
Piss poor. I mean, I'm going to say, look, I love Paul Pogba. He's great. Now he's playing at United, you know, famously gave away the cursed jersey. You got to buy you a steak. You know the story.
But still waiting for that steak.
If Paul Pogba doesn't get that penalty, and then he doesn't give the ball away at Southampton, sir, we have qualified for Champions League, and your best player needs to be making the net positive moves on the team, which I definitely think you can say we are a completely different side with him in it, and he's definitely done well throughout the restart, but your best player shouldn't be making those errors, and similar on De Gea. So I just think it's one of those things where Paul P can't be making those mistakes, and I'll forgive him, but I need him to show up. And want to show up on Sunday because he's got something to prove making those errors.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as hard on him about it because I think he's been a consistent performer since the restart. Errors happen. You know, he shouldn't do it again, and it could have cost us the
giveaway?
Game.
The giveaway against Southampton?
Sorry, his form has dipped in the last couple of games. You want my opinion? You want your opinion? Your opinion is obviously is piss poor, but you know what? These players have been playing a shit ton. You know how many games they've been playing with very little subs? And I think Paul is obviously a net positive, right? The goals he's contributed and bringing the team up along with Bruno have added more than the two errors he led to. No doubt he led to errors, but he is, you know.
Okay.
If he has another error on Sunday and it leads to us losing, yes, that would be a major issue. But like,
I concur, but it's more of the players who are making more than 300K a week. You know, there's a tier. There's a class.
They can't make errors?
No, you can make errors. But you would expect those players to be the ones getting you over the line into top four, not help basically creating individual errors that are hurting you in the race for top four.
Well, in the same way that De Gea that gives you the best of both worlds, right? He has lights out, world-class saves, but he also has given up gaffers. Helps you the best of times, hurts you at the worst of times. I mean, Paul Pogba is more consistent than De Gea since the restart. You can be critical about like the mistakes he's made, but we gotta stick by him. He's been
no, of course. Solid. I just wanted to have it. I want to make sure he walks into Leicester with a chip on his shoulder, knowing he has something to prove because he's a World Cup winner. He should get a bumper deal. He should get a raise. But I want to see Paul Pogba get a goal and an assist and beat Leicester City because that's what Paul Pogba is there to do. He's not there to give the ball away. Don't put him in the wall. I would even argue he shouldn't be in the wall. Paul Pogba,
he's not gonna, he's out of the wall.
You're paying the man that money. Doesn't want to be in the wall? Go stand over there. Don't want to be hit by the ball? Go stand over
he's
there.
Pretty
that's
big.
Absolutely fine.
He's pretty big, though. I mean, that's the thing.
I know, Paul's... but the problem is if he's going to put his hands up and he doesn't want to get hit by the ball, then have him sit over there. It's fine. You don't need your, like, talisman to, like, take one off the
the dome.
He's not Craig Burley, bro. He doesn't need... You know, it's like Paul Pogba. It's like...
Yeah.
It's a different game. It's a different game. It's a different game. I'm not calling him out that he's a wuss. I'm just saying
I don't think he meant to do it. I mean, you saw his face. He looked like he knows he's like a cardinal foul in soccer or football, which is put your hands up in defense. I mean, he knows it's like not going to look good after the fact.
I imagine literally you put your hands at your sides so that you don't put them up over your face. I don't know. Never made it to the pros. Match reactions, stats-wise, West Ham 43% of the ball, Manchester United 57%, shots on target, West Ham 3-4, total shots, West Ham 12-11. I mean, this is the stat breakdown we're talking about. So if we didn't dominate, didn't create those chances, that's why I think everyone is a little salty. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United side are unbeaten in 13 Premier League games. I said 11, there's the fact check, it's 13. Which is now the Norwegian's best ever run in the competition with the club and his best ever run in his managerial career with a single club. Shout out to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I don't think anyone's throwing any positivity his way with that run. That's a crime. And no teenager has ever scored more goals in a single season in all competitions for Manchester United than Mason Greenwood, 17, level with George Best in 65-66, Brian Kidd in 67-68, and Wayne Rooney in 04-05. Those are pretty good players.
That's an absurd company. Absurd company. One game left. Maybe they'll surpass them. But like we said, future is bright for Mason Greenwood. He is a top player. I think he'll only get better. And he looked like a different player between pre-restart and post. Like he put on just muscle.
What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
What's your take on the match? And obviously, you already knew you had top four in your hands, but to be in the top four seems like a mental boost.
Oh, well, going into half time, we knew that that's not the result we wanted. And a draw or a 1-0 win or a 2-0 win was more or less the same outcome for us. And then we have the same starting point on Sunday. So you can't expect to go and turn teams over and score three or five like we had to do to have a different scenario for Sunday.
Simon Stowe?
Ollie, do you take pride in the fact that you've got yourself into this position when probably 6 months ago nobody thought you would, or are you a little bit concerned that over the last couple of weeks the form's tailed off a little bit?
You know, when we started after the lockdown, we had to go for it, and we really had to go for it. We had to go for goal difference, we had to go for points, and the effort has been fantastic, and the results have been fantastic. Of course, you'd like to win against Southampton. You concede in the last second, and here today you concede a penalty just in the last second of first half. But we've given ourselves a fantastic opportunity and a great starting point for Sunday.
Larry?
In answer to your first question, was that why, a factor in your decision of the substitutions, relating to sort of protecting what you had rather than necessarily freshening it up?
Well, we wanted to have goal scorers out there and score goals, and we know that Bruno, Paul, Mason, Anthony, they can all create a goal in any second of a game, and Marcus as well. But we wanted to win the game, of course. It would have been nice to go into Sunday with a win, but then again, we are where we are.
But then again, we are where we are. The manager, only Mr. Nice Guy, what do you make that presser? You love to
win.
He's
gleaming. I mean, he looks like he seems very content with the draw. Certainly more content than I was. Hey.
Well, you said it doesn't make that much of a difference.
He's right. And maybe that was their mentality. They got that goal.
But you play to win the game.
And they certainly took their foot off the gas in the second half. But this is not American football.
You play to win the game.
There are draws.
You don't play to just play.
You get points. And it... Hey, let's look at that table, sir. It doesn't look too bad.
All right, checking in at the table here. Manchester United, third place. That's right. First time we've hit it in a little while. Chelsea, fourth place with 63 points. We are tied, but our goal differential of plus 28 does the job. They have plus 13. Boy, Chelsea leaked in 54 goals. That is tough. Leicester City, 62 points. Plus 28 goal differential, same as ours. And then you have Wolverhampton, 59, plus 13 goal differential. Tottenham and Wolverhampton fighting for the Europa League spot. That is kind of the deal. So Wolves do have something to play for on the final day of the season. They are not completely out of it. I haven't run all the scenarios on Wolves and Tottenham just because ain't nobody got time for that. But I do know they are actually hungry. They're coming to beat Chelsea there. So us and Leicester... Wolves and Chelsea, it's written in the stars, the footballing gods. They have it all there. Two matches that need to be watched simultaneously. Every goal, every post that is hit, my heart will completely stop.
I don't know if I can take it.
You said it before the pod. You're like, I don't know if I can deal with this.
It's too much. And if it goes begging and we end up in August, just like in Europa League, single knockout, elimination die, fighting for our life. I definitely can't handle that. So, boys, this Leicester game is massive. They know it's massive. I think they're going to show up.
Either way, I predict you'll have a few dark ales on the pot.
I will have. We're doing it right after the fact, right?
Yes.
I'm sure I will. Hopefully, it justifies a few dark ales in a good way.
All right. Booking the bookies, top four odds. Chelsea, minus 1,200. United, minus 600. Leicester, plus 150 to do it. Chelsea... Odds on favorite. Looking at the scenarios, I was confused at why the bookies have it where Chelsea is the odds on favorite to qualify. They still have to play Wolves. They are a little more favorites against Wolves than we are against Leicester. And I think the main reason is Vardy likes to have a party, and he is favored heavily to score first in the match versus any Manchester United player. So the bookies are seeing it where Chelsea can deal with Wolves. Basically, it's easier for Chelsea to get a draw against Wolves than us to get a draw against Leicester. That's kind of the...
Harry Maguire. He drinks the vodka. He drinks the Jaeger. His head's fucking massive. It's got to come down to Harry. Harry's got to boss the game.
It's true.
Show him what's what. He knows how to play against them, right? They're old teammates. And it's going to be about shutting him down because this team is all going to be the first goal. It's all going to be the first goal on Sunday.
Lindelof versus Vardy makes me nervous. Antonio versus Lindelof makes me nervous. Moyes versus Lindelof makes me nervous.
Lindelof had a decent game.
I know. I just Vardy.
You never know. I mean, they're all pick a player.
Dude, he's the golden boot. I know. Golden boot. Jamie Vardy.
And he loves to score against us.
He likes
as well.
To have a party, and he likes to score against
Red Bull Vodkas.
And we are playing away. Of course, we're talking about it. We got a next match for all the marbles. Roll the dice, clickety-clack, sir. It's going to be nerve-wracking stuff. Leicester City versus Manchester United coming onto the final day. We called it on the pod earlier. We looked at that fixture. We said, what if it comes down to this match?
Always does.
I never would have thought that win or draw were in. I would say kudos to Manchester United for getting that far against Leicester. They have tripped up. We're playing at the King Power Stadium. The King Power Stadium, Sunday, July 26th, 8 a.m. Pacific against Leicester. We've won 18, drawn seven times, and lost twice. Why are we worried?
Because they got Jamie Vardy. They like the party. You worried about Brendan Rodgers? I'm not super worried about Brendan Rodgers, you know? Especially they've been...
I'm not talking smack about other managers ahead of the match because I talk smack about Moyes and we got a point. So I don't like Brendan Rodgers. I think that's fair. I just think Leicester's got some issues, so we should be able to do it. I'm actually confident. I'm not confident in our form, but if I look at us and Leicester on a piece of paper, especially given the players they're missing, you got to get it done. And if we don't, then it's going to be fair for everyone to just like burn the mother down.
it's going to be a long late summer. It's going to be fun. August is going to be something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We first played Leicester City in 1894. We won 3-2. Some fun facts about 1894. Coca-Cola is sold in bottles for the first time. They used to drink it out of buckets, sir. and the Manchester United ship canal and docks are opened by Queen Victoria, linking the previously landlocked English industrial cities of Manchester to the Irish Sea. That was big because they basically made all the Scouse bastards go broke. So that was a big event there in Manchester. Another reason why we're have such fierce rivalries with the Scousers.
Dates back to the 19th century. It's notable because it changed Northern England as well. But fun fact, going all the way back, 1894. Can you believe it?
That's crazy. These clubs go that far back. We've won 4 of the past 5 matches. We've won 1-0 at home in September thanks to a Rashford penalty. That was by the hair on our chin. I remember thinking we didn't deserve that one.
Yep.
Come pretty far. Leicester was founded in 1884, like we mentioned, as Leicester Foss FC, playing on a field near Foss Road. They moved to Filbert Street in 1891, where they were elected to the Football League in 1894 and adopted the name Leicester City in 1919. They moved to nearby Walker Stadium in 2002, which was renamed the King Power Stadium in 2011. And Leicester famously won the 2015-16 Premier League, their first top division championship. Boy, do I remember Tottenham Hotspur bottling that one. This was the club's previous highest finish was second place in the top flight in 1928-29, then known as the First Division. And they hold a joint highest 7 second-tier titles, 6 second division, and 1 championship. The club have been FA Cup finalists 4 times, won the League Cup 3 times, and competed in 4 European campaigns. I do remember them in the Champions League. That was absolutely crazy. Leicester City, a lot of history. This could be one of the last times they can fight for that Champions League spot. A lot of players have been moved on. Sir, Leicester City, what do you think? The Foxes, I like Leicester.
They got good. I mean, they got Ndidi. They got Madison. Obviously, Vardy likes to party.
Madison's out.
Tielemans, he's a pretty good player. So they've got talent the squad. Obviously, they're missing the defender that we talked about. But they want to finish in the top 4, right?
Soyuncu?
Something like that. He looks like a decent player.
When you got those extra symbols on top of the letters in the jersey, I just give up.
Couldn't ask me. but they have plenty to play for. So do we. They're playing at home. Everybody wants to finish the season strong. You know, it's like they're going to have to be reminded about how they finish for the rest of the year. So
this is just a lot to play for. This is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
It's
old English. Scrappy. It's like
12th round,
battered.
You know, both boxers beat up, just swinging for the fences, and it's not even fair because, you know, one might hit the post, go in, one might hit the post, go out. It's why you watch the game. The nerves, I can feel it in myself now. It's just everything's on the line. A whole season, 37 matches down. Let's go. Let's fucking go. I can't wait, and I'm not going to bring any negative juju to this game. I'm going to be standing, sir, shouting, hooting, hollering. You know it. Neighbor's going to call and complain.
Not until I die. Hey, I cannot wait for this game. Because this is what you want. You don't want something to play for. You want a game that has repercussions. I mean, like, you could be Arsenal playing, what, for like seventh place? Or you could be us. I know we're not playing for a title. That's what we all want to be. That's the goal. One day, one step at a time. But now, we blew it last year, and the teams allowed us, gave us a chance. We've been good. You know, we've like slipped up a little bit compared to how we started the restart, but we've still been solid. Now we just got to finish the job.
Yeah, well, let's talk about for a second why it's so important, right? You want to look at the financial picture of Manchester United. Obviously, they're a public company. I've run the financial analysis. You can check it out at AmericanRedDevils.com. Essentially, the pandemic hit the worst time for Manchester United as a club. You know, they run it flush with club makes a lot of money, but obviously the cash reserves, they need fans in the seats. They need a lot of revenue streams to basically get all that money to spend in the transfer market. And it just so happened to be they whittled down about $300 million down to $90 at the wrong time when they have these other obligations due. And essentially the club is cash strapped. So when we talk about making top four, people might want to make fun of you, say, hey, it's just fourth place. What are you talking about? Well, given the fact the financial situation of Manchester United, we need the 80 to 90 million that comes with getting Champions League football next season. We can't go without it. This club, unfortunately, is poorly run. We can get into the Glazers, sack Woodward, hashtag Glazers out, everything. But this club needs the money if we want to see them active in the transfer window, or we don't want them to name the stadium Maui Jim Stadium.
Nobody wants
that. So important. And it's kind of shitty that we're rooting for the get out of jail free card with the Glazers because they've run the club poorly. They haven't left enough cash for a rainy day on the balance sheet. And we're cheering on the team to kind of bail them out, which is what making Champions League football will do. I just want the Glazers to sensibly invest in this team and this squad. And given the vehicles and options they have to do that and how much debt they have on the team, the idea they're going to put another $300 million in out of the goodness of their hearts, that's not going to be the case. We're probably going to make Champions League. They're probably going to skirt by, put this team on a budget, and then next year is really the year that we're going to see that. When they don't move in the transfer market and we don't have the intention to make titles because you start seeing their bad financial decisions affect their performance on the pitch, that's when the fans are going to be really pissed off.
No, I think the fans would be really pissed off is if Ole finishes in the top four, you know, beat Leicester, win the Europa League, and they don't spend money, which is very possible. Is they're like, oh, we got that cash.
It's probably base case.
Yes.
It's actually it's probably the thing you could expect the most from United, mainly because they don't have the cash to spend. It's not like they're just not spending it. You know, the club just doesn't have it because they take it out and they pay the debt. If you want to read more about the financial analysis, you can check out AmericanRedDevils.com. I'll be writing more about it as well once we get their new financial numbers and once Champions League is wrapped up, sir, because Champions League at the end of the day, that is why we're playing. That's why this game is worth so much to United fans. So it's more than just top four. It's can we buy Sancho? That's what we're playing for. Can we keep Paul Pogba? Can we keep these big stars? Can we recruit bigger stars from getting Champions League football? This club has to be in the Champions League. And I was thinking this today. We used to be in every goddamn season.
I know.
Now it's like,
you know, Europa League. You don't get that music. Now we have music. It's like Europa League.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, it's like sweet.
I want to do is play the goddamn music on the pod. All I want to do is just even when just playing it. You're guaranteed a few. You're guaranteed six games.
So we're losing it. We're losing it. There's been a lot of games, a lot of pods. It all comes down to Sunday. It's not only just the money. It's also just the fact that, like, I think the Glazers, are going to be more likely to spend if they see progress and if they see an upward trajectory. They're like, all right, we're going to get more money at the end of the day if we kind of put some, you know, gasoline in this rocket ship.
They're in the taking money out of the club game, putting money into the club, sir. So the idea, they don't have the money, so they're going to need to put it in through more debt, which we talked about the debt to EBITDA ratio that's too high. Or they could essentially raise commercial income by selling out more, which is hard to do because they've sold out so much. If you look at all the sponsors in the stadium today, I couldn't keep them. So I'm like, how many are there?
A lot.
You know, this pod's got zero. Sir.
Maui Jim.
Or the opposite. Unless Maui Jim wants to up their offer. All right. Physioroom.com. Luke Shaw, he's on the injury sheet. I hope he's targeting Leicester. I hope.
What a big-time player he's become, huh? Well, you don't actually, I think we've probably seen it since our form has dipped, and he's been the absent player. He's been so vital linking up with Rashford on the left side of the pitch.
It's night and day for Rashford especially, because I think Rashford has to play more centrally without Luke Shaw. So, you know, we'll see. And especially that was part of the tactics, AWB and Shaw getting forward. I mean, that was such, that's how we were playing so well. We had such balance there. Again, another reason why we probably need more depth. Tuan Zabi injured. Baye's out. Phil Jones, he's out as well, sir. Given those injuries, we broke it down. What is your starting lineup?
Sir, last game this season in the Premier League. So I got Dave Saves. Who else? It's a familiar lineup. AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. He's going to make the return, make it for the game. It's going to be Matic, Bruno, Pogba, Martial, Greenwood, Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, that's the same. I got the same. De Gea, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. And I don't even know who you're bringing in off the bench. I thought maybe Amada against West Ham in the 70s something. I thought, why not? You know?
I like Scott. Stingy. I mean, it depends where you are. Are you leading? Are you chasing a goal? I mean, obviously, it all depends.
Yeah. McTominay and Fred so essential in the first half of the season.
Crazy.
Can't get a game. Can't get a game. It's crazy. Booking the bookies, Leicester plus 210, draw plus 240, Manchester United plus 130.
You're making money
to win. I think the bookies there, they got it. The draw is that's the money maker. The plus 240 for the draw. If you're a Manchester United fan, you bet some on the win, a lot on the draw, because I could see United tied. Hold it on. Hold. Just hold it on. You and me just like
yeah.
That's probably how it's going to go down.
I can't wait.
Odds
can't
to wait. Score, Jamie Vardy, Golden Boot winner, plus 333. He is miles ahead of Greenwood, Fernandez, Rashford, and Martial, all plus 550. And Gallo plus 600. The bookies look at Jamie Vardy. They look at Maguire and Lindelof, and they say, yo, Vardy's going to get a goal. So that's the difference in the odds, I think, for Chelsea and United. The Chelsea match, their odds specifically, Chelsea minus 118. They're the favorites. Draw plus 270. Wolves plus 320.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, they're, for me, having watched pretty much every game of Chelsea, haven't watched as many of Wolves, there's some money to be made there. Chelsea are not, I think people think they're playing like lights out. They're not that good. I think Wolves are good defensively. They're going to give Chelsea a tough match. That's going to be a really hard game. And I think United, you know, you can make some money on that draw and Manchester United to win plus 130.
I'll tell you one thing you find out from watching NBC Sports is that they do not like us. They do not talk glowingly about Manchester United.
Dude, I don't listen to them.
They were talking, like, they were giving Lampard so much credit going into the Liverpool game for how well he's done.
Dude, and it's just Rebecca Lowe is like, who's the number one star in the Premier League? She's on a pod, and she said Pep Guardiola is the number one star in the Premier League. And I was like,
what?
I was like, Paul Pogba?
Pep, manager is the number one star?
Like, they're like, name the number, like, I forget the pod, but it was like, name the number one star in the Premier League to someone who doesn't watch it. And she said Pep Guardiola. And then I was just like,
the ball fraud.
I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, who would you? I would say Paul Pogba. If you want to talk about like who could who's like most Instagram, most visible star worldwide, you know, Paul Pogba's pretty up there.
Not a manager, I'll tell you that. I mean,
I mean, think of like Liverpool.
Paul's up there,
like,
yeah. Liverpool. Salah is more like, of a so,
yes. I still think Pogba's
up there too.
Famous because
no,
he won the World Cup. If you think worldwide, like so. Based on that answer, I was like, my head exploded where I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's like Messi is, you know, like Pep was kind of like, oh, that bald guy next to Messi. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Pep Guardiola is I think Klopp would be up there as well. I don't know.
Star is the right word. That's definitely not the word I think of when I think of Pep.
Yeah, exactly. Score prediction. Who you got for the, what do you think? Come down the last day.
1-0 penalty.
Same as we did it earlier in the year. 3-1, Manchester United do it. Easy. Jamie Vardy having a party. He does get his goal. Maybe it's tied. United go ahead. I have to think Rashford, Bruno, Martial, Paul Pogba.
Can't handle it, sir.
You know, they have to be able to get it done. Anything else on the match, sir? Any other comments? I think we've broken down every angle.
all we got to do is play the game, play to win the game.
You play to win the game. All right, United in the news, bringing you the latest Manchester United news. Manchester United are going to almost make top four here. Just kidding.
Inside nobody.
Manchester United make bid for James Rodriguez per BE Soccer. Sir, I don't know where you get these news news articles from BE Soccer.
You don't know about BE Soccer, bro?
No, I don't. The 29-year-old is available for $15 million from Real Madrid. If he's available for $15 million, what do you think?
I mean, that's why I included it. You scoff at it, but actually, there's apparently legs in this because they look and just move them. You know, James Rodriguez, I think he's been passed around a little bit already, but £15 million, if we make Champions League, I like it. 29-year-old, he still have an impact. If he wants to play, doesn't matter. I mean, he's not going to be a starter. He's going to have to fight for a spot. So as long as his wages aren't insane, I would be favorable, open to this.
Yeah, I mean, I like I think we're going to be in these type of cut rate up front transfer fee deals with big wages on the back end. So this one makes sense. Again, you kind of worry about the whole like Sanchez coming in. Does he really want to be there? Is he only there for the money? That's really the question. Next one, end of the road. Oh, football 365. Chelsea sniffing around Dean Henderson. They might want to offer him double his wages, big money. Chelsea, their keeper, is a big problem.
He's not good.
It's a riot. I love that. And they paid insane money for him. Isn't he the like EPL record most expensive goalkeeper? And he's just atrocious.
I believe so. I think he's like
70 something million, I believe. 70 something
worth
million.
Every penny just for us to watch him.
I'm not worried about this one. This is just banter. United will not let Dean Henderson not re-sign with United. He'll probably be wearing Manchester United jersey next season. He's got to be open for that, right? De Gea, I mean, like, the one thing I don't get with keepers is it's so hard. It's like the quarterback controversy. You don't want to start, like, Romeo all of a sudden. De Gea's number one. He's number one against Leicester. He'll be number one next season. I really think just Dean Henderson, we talked about bringing him back and having De Gea fight. But if you got Romero, like, does it make sense to give Dean Henderson more minutes at Sheffield United in the EPL?
Unless you want to bring competition for De Gea as like an actual, like, you're going to lose your spot.
But then Romero's got to go.
Right, I would think. Yeah, of course. Because he's not going to just be a third round. He's not going to be Lee Grant, I don't think. He's still got some good, and there would be demand for him, right? Romero is a good keeper. He would likely switch to the Premier League. He would be an upgrade like for many clubs.
I mean, like, look, everyone freaked out on De Gea, including us. Maybe competition is good for him. Maybe it's not. At this point, I don't know. I'd like to have Dean Henderson, but the whole point is if De Gea starts playing well, you bring in Dean Henderson, he doesn't get any game time, right? That's the issue. Clearly, he could play an FA Cup. He could play at EFL. You know, God forbid Europa League. He get a few matches.
No, I think you stick with the program, which is you give Dino a new deal. You let him spend another year on loan in Sheffield, playing the Premier League, getting lots of shots on target. And you give De Gea another chance as well because, you know, if he isn't it, you'll know and you'll get rid of him. And if he is it or if he isn't quite it, you can, like, maybe get a better chance to ship him. There's no reason right now. I think De Gea at his best is still worth it.
All right, next bit of news. Manchester United and Chelsea joined Man City in Nathan Ake transfer. The defender from Bournemouth, left foot. I mean, this is one that we should have signed a long time ago. I think he used to be a Chelsea player.
You got it.
Got bought by Bournemouth. I always rated him. He's young, Dutch international. We need another defender. We need depth. He's healthy. He's always playing at Bournemouth. Eddie Howe's general at the back. I thought we should have signed him maybe last season on a cheap. Now City's in the defender market. That's just going to drive up prices. So you're looking at Chelsea need defenders. City need defenders. We need defenders.
Chelsea needs defenders.
It's going to make players more expensive in the transfer market. That's not good for the cash-strapped Glazers.
Because this is a deal that everybody's all over. If Ake was there to be had cheap, trust me, there'll be many suitors to be there, even in a cash-strapped situation like what's going on.
Yeah, but we sat on defender. We should have got Maguire the year before.
Of course we should have. You think we're getting Ake? No way.
The problem with Woodward and the Glazers, they don't move players fast enough. Lingard, Jones, Smalling loans. Like, we need to get players out, but you need to get new ones in. And the reason why we're not getting these players in is because we're not getting these players out. It's just lazy, lazy, lazy. The new Phil Jones deal, what do you mean? Like, that one from a mile away, everyone knew was like, what? Like, what is, who is Phil Jones like hanging out with where he's getting another deal? I mean, that's one of those don't make no sense.
He's got like the fanciest car at the club.
Unbelievable.
You see what he drives?
Lightning strikes.
Pink Lambo.
Lightning strikes every once in a while, sir. That's all I got to say. Gary Neville speaks on Manchester United transfers per Sky Sports. He's doing commentary. Quote, they're going to need to sign 4 to 5 players. I'm with you, Gary. One of the great right backs there. Quote, obviously they played a big team at the weekend. It was obviously wasn't a good performance. I don't think this Man United side at the moment can challenge for the title. They need more additions. To be fair to Ole, at the time when he's been at the club, I think the players he's brought in have improved the team enormously. I think they need 3 or 4 of those as a minimum to even think about going into third and second. For me, it comes out of respect. They got 3 really good midfielders behind them, the strikers that being. My concern for United is depth. They drop. They don't have is depth. The drop they have beneath the talent needs to be supported. When I say that United need a center forward, it's not because they should sell Anthony Martial. It's because they need another center forward. Manchester United should have 2 or 3 great center forwards or wingers, not just one in each position. I think he's just hitting about it. Like, we're seeing great things. Ole's doing a great job. He's getting the best out of a lot of players, especially the attackers. But we need depth because we're seeing that now, right? There's tons of fixtures that are coming fast and furious next season. And to compete for titles, you need a lot of options. I mean, we saw with Manchester United, Tevez, Berba, Rooney, Ronaldo. Those are options.
Those are options, and that's what the top teams need, right? Go back in our history. There's always been, whenever we've won, you know, titles or multiple pieces of silverware, there's not just one great striker at the club at any moment. So we have a bunch of good strikers. We got a bunch of good young strikers. But we need more depth throughout. You know, we need center backs. We need midfielders, and we need attackers. And the players that are even on the bench will get better in some regards, right? Fred will get better. McTominay will get better. Dan James will get better. But some of those players that are taking up bench spots need to go, right? We need like a new number 10 that's breaking through. Maybe it's an academy guy. Maybe it's someone we buy. But Jesse Lingard, it's like, smell you later. I mean, good luck. Have a good one. But we need to, like you said, we need to move out the players that are clearly not good enough and get them out and either bring up caddy lads or buy players. And I'd rather just bring up academy lads if we're not going to buy players than have Jesse Lingard or Jones taking up an injury spot because he's always injured or not playing. So what are we doing?
Hey, I wouldn't mind being Phil Jones, you know.
Pink Lambo.
Hanging out with Ed Woodward up in the stands. All right, jumping to fan questions. We really appreciate all the banter. I'm wading into it for the first time. I haven't looked at these. I imagine we're going to see some salty tweets. At MJFit16. Quote, why are we so susceptible to the emotional swings? I mean, it's West Ham. If you aren't nervous about Sunday, you haven't been paying attention. There you go, sir. Well, what do you think of that one from MJFit16?
Trust me, we're paying attention, and I'm nervous. I'm super nervous, as we all are, because there's everything left to play for. But this is what you live for. This is what football is all about. This is what big moments are all about. And if we're a big team, I know we're a big team, but if this squad wants to do things and push on, you need to bite down on that bit and just like put down Leicester. Just show them to Europa League. Just show them the way out the door.
I'm like excited. I'm going the other way. I'm not going to be like super. It's just because you have to be excited about the match. You can't go negative into this one.
No.
You just got to be like, 90 minutes, anyone can win. May the best team win. Enjoy it. I hope it's a thriller. You know, I hope it's just absolutely off your seat. Like
5-4.
It's just going to be like Leicester bombing forward, United. Yeah. But I think that I do agree. The stage, the nerves are probably a little too much for this team. And I think we saw a little bit of that in the FA Cup. We're just not ready for those big stages. But it's going to be after that settles down how we play, right? It's because I do agree it's going to be chaotic in the first 10 minutes. It's going to be absolutely nuts. At Vito Tito 11 on Twitter, quote, absolutely no desire to win by West Ham. props on their defending, but my God, they are a fucking drag. I mean, David Moyes, tactical genius, mate. Pogba seemed a bit out of it, and I don't blame him. And Ighalo should have started. You got to rotate, exclamation point. Glad to see Fosu Mensah and Brandon Williams on the sheet. Interesting take there from Vito.
Absolutely. Wasn't Pogba's best day. Ighalo, I think he could have made an impact earlier. You know, I think someone's hold up play and size would have helped. Rotate, I don't think he's rotating this last game of the season. I mean, maybe the second leg of LASK, you'll see some heavy rotation. But I think Leicester City, I think we're going full steam ahead.
At Cassidy Sanders, quote, way too tired today, and Ole once again showed that he doesn't believe in his bench. Needs some depth to this squad, so we need that Champions League money. There you go. Hitting the nail on the head.
Spot on. We need that cash. We need those additions, and we need that belief that this club is on to something. This squad is ready to push on.
At Lou_Dav77, quote, is Bruno gassed? Question mark.
Yes.
He came out. He looked pretty sharp to me. People were saying Bruno was off his game. I thought he played decently well. He does try a lot of things, and they don't come off, even when he's playing well. But if we're not putting the ball in the back of the net, you remember those like errant passes a little more, right? He's always trying something.
I mean, I didn't say he's not playing well. I just said he's gassed. You could tell.
No, I'm saying if some people were taking a dig. Oh, Bruno's off it. Like, is he off it? I just don't think.
Isn't that part of his game? Like, he tries these kind of like high risk, high reward passes that don't always come off. You know, some of the simple passes, I think he needs to play, sometimes play the simpler ball, which, you know, I think that's just the way he plays. He's got it. We Bruno, man, we love you. Keep it up.
At Red Devil Woody, quote, that was absolutely shocking. If they can't get up and put a shit West Ham to bed, then I fear for them against Leicester. That entire team looks shit. None of those fuckers would be on my bus, wankers. So wet Red Devil Woody, salt.
Salt storm.
Just salt. A lot of cursing in there. Woody, feel your frustration. We have a reply at Michael72.
Yeah.
For me, it's pretty simple. Either this team is not motivated by top four, or they are scared of the pressure. Either way, it leaves me uneasy going into Sunday. What do you make of Woody? They don't deserve to get on the bus. I get it. But if I try to look at it as the full picture. I look at the full Project Restart, how well we've done getting to this situation. And if we don't make top four, I'll be the first one to be like, they should be walking home from Leicester City.
I mean, we still haven't lost, right? I don't think we've lost since Burnley in January in the league. So it's been a good run. I know everyone's disappointed. I was disappointed. But you know what? The more I've been talking on this pod, the better I feel. I'm looking forward to this game. It is an event. And it's a cup final. It's basically a cup final, where we can draw and go through.
Not a lot of sitting. I get a lot of pacing.
I'll tell you what, it's like my blood pressure is going to be roof high.
I can't wait. At Burkett Metz, quote, going to buy a life alert device for Sunday just in
that's
case.
A good one.
Legend. At Sarah J. Thinthy, or Tethy, quote, what did you make of Timothy's performance? I thought it was like a squad player for the first half, but they're just, him and Brandon Williams together, you need somebody like AWB to give you that. Obviously, we went down as well. I think Ole was thinking he'd get away with it. If we could score a goal or two, he wouldn't have a lot of pressure on him.
All I've known about United's history is that throughout our successes, we've had squad players that have done a job. And Timothy Fosu-Mensah looks like he's young still. We've been hearing a lot about him for a long time. I know he's had some unsuccessful loans, but I think he'll be a player that we can use. He's 22, and he's pretty solid.
You know,
we'll find out. We will find out.
No, I know. I'm just going to look. I don't think he did a bad thing. Just don't think he's a United player at right back. You know, the position has changed a little bit. If you're going to be honest, right, you need to be able to go forward. You need to have that pace. You need to have that threat. Even Wan-Bissaka, that part of the game, he's working on it. If you don't have that, you saw how Ole wants to set up. If you don't have, he could play center back.
That's what I was thinking.
He could play CDM.
He could play CDM or center back. But I mean, he's useful.
Back, yeah. If you're just trying not to concede, not a bad option. But I think the game has kind of changed there.
Sir, he feels like another Dutchman we got in the pod room, which is Daley Blind. He's like a useful player. He could play kind of all over the pitch. He's a utility.
That's unkind to
outfielder Blind. In baseball.
Blind's like very legit.
I know. He is. But he's Dutch. Yeah. He's young. He's, you know, don't write him off yet.
At Ty Kircher on Twitter, quote, not the worst in the world. Poor pen to concede. Lads need to be focused for Sunday. I'd much rather win it than draw to get in. Absolutely. Feeling better than I thought. # Glory, Glory, Man United. Really appreciate the tie. Sir, what do you make of that?
It's all about having the right attitude. And at this point, we're in a good position, third place. Didn't think I'd be in third place today doing this pod.
At you boasting on Twitter, quote, the only positive thing to say about this result is that it is all in our own hands. I begin to question Ole's ability to get this team to perform under pressure. Very concerned about that game on Sunday. That's not wrong. That's not wrong.
Shout out to Ulrich. We just sent you your scarf. Appreciate you supporting the pod. He's not wrong. Sunday, it's going to be a stressful time. I would say have a dark brown ale nearby.
I got a few more at Dave Paz. Quote, what we are seeing now is a result of playing the same team game after game with no rest. But what can Ole do when the backup options aren't good enough? If the Glazers have any sense, they would see Ole is on the right track, just needs support and buy him some players. I think all the fans agree. I don't hear any really anti-Ole stuff. I'm sure if we don't make it on Sunday, it would all be coming out Ole, Ole, Ole. But you can see what he's doing. You can see what he wants to do. We need some players. They need to splash the cash. And if they don't, you can buy the Glazers out scarves at AmericaRedDevils.com. Sir.
Still on sale.
Green and gold. The club is sold. At Emerson Hoops. A moment of brilliance from Martial and Greenwood, but other than that, the lads look tired and second best. We need passion. We need to get up for the Leicester game and put them to bed. I absolutely agree. And at Androsius 95, quote, the tactical genius got us today, but we live to fight another day. Glory, glory, Man United. I think that's a great tweet to end on there. We try to pronounce the Twitter handles right, but you can understand. They're very difficult.
We do our best. We do our best. No editing. We do it live, like they say, and we appreciate the fan banter. It's great.
We really appreciate everyone for supporting and listening to the podcast. It has been a hell of a 37 games. I can't believe how long. We've almost been at it a year, if you really think about it. Basically 11 months. Started this year, 4-0 against Chelsea in the bar in San Francisco. Absolutely kicking. COVID, everything, the break, the restart. Sports are back.
United two babies. Are back.
Yeah, two babies. There's another one for you. Game on Sunday. It's like
end of, mate. I cannot wait.
Like, you know what? It's just gonna be 8 a.m. is a little early. I'd be like,
nah, it's easy. 10 a.m. easy. Like, oh, it should be later. I agree.
But I got trouble sleeping. That's what I said. I don't have trouble sleeping for much. But I'm gonna be like, this is gonna be one of those kind of when I'm young Santa Claus because I also need third place. We have a bet with our Chelsea fan on the text thread we haven't even talked about. It's like, we got to be third. We got to finish above Chelsea. That matters to me at the end of the day. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I want to be third.
Oh, shit talk. Fourth.
I'm getting greedy over here on the pod.
Well, now that we have it, let's not blow it and let's win. If we win, we're third. Simple as that.
And look, that was it. This is the pod. This is the last time we're going to be chirping until we know the results on Sunday. It's either going to be popping off here on the bunker or it's going to be, you know.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Back to business.
Well, thank you for downloading. Again, this podcast is for fans, by fans. We don't have any influences. We don't have any sponsors because we're just two crazy gentlemen with too much time on their hands that decided that we should start a podcast out of our love for the game. We really don't have any commercial aspirations. This isn't our full-time gig, so we can really say what we want. I mean, we do this part-time, and we absolutely love it. We would chat for hours about United and just argue with ourselves, and now we have a full community. We love all the banter you guys bring. It truly makes watching Manchester United a very special occasion every match, sir. And this one especially.
And that's what United fans want. You know, we're lucky to share a really awesome community with all the American Red Devil fans out there. But what United fans want is a game with something to play for. And we got a game that matters. And it's like, we want to finish strong. We got everything to play for. You know, it's a $100 million game. It is a bragging rights game. We finished in third. It's like, holy shit, what a turnaround for Ole. Let's build on from there. It's everything.
We used to win titles. I mean, like, we used to win titles in the last
building
day.
Blocks.
I mean, that's just like balls
baby steps,
of steel.
Baby steps. Baby
we're
steps.
Talking about, we're getting nervous to make top four. We baby used steps. To be like, I remember, I forget what season it was, and I was in San Francisco at the pub, Chelsea United. It came down to the last game of the season, and United ended up winning. Forget what year that was.
It was 11?
It was around that. It's long enough ago where I actually have trouble remembering it.
We're getting
older. But I do remember being packed in the bar like last day, Chelsea fans, United fans, like who's going to win the league. And like, you know, that, and obviously we won. It was just like the greatest thing of all time. But it's just that anytime it comes down to that last game and you're watching the other games, it's just like, it's absolutely amazing. And this is, you know, this is it. And it's amazing when you win. It's amazing when you win.
It's amazing when you win, and it's it really hurts when you don't.
Yeah, like those Champions League finals against Barcelona, those are some lows. Those are some lows.
But you got to remember those lows. You got to remember how that makes you feel.
Those are some lows.
You have to, because that makes you feel alive. That makes you feel like a human. You got to remember, the treble was locked down in 12 days.
I know.
FA Cup, Champions League. I mean, we have this in our DNA.
We lost.
This should
to Barca,
be no big deal. You know, we won the year before against.
No, I know.
Chelsea.
I know.
And they had a hell of a team.
I could think
Pep, the most famous man in the Premier League.
This wouldn't be as big. This might be a worse load just because it's. you got to be able to make top four.
This ain't no trouble.
It'd be like.
It ain't no trouble.
But at least, and here's the thing, if we do lose European Cup, you always got Europa League. I might say that once or twice during the game. We always got Europa.
You're going to say it to yourself.
All right. If you want to support the podcast, write a review on iTunes goes a long way. Check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. If you want to contribute to the blog, email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. If you just want to chirp at us, you can email us as well. Check out our store. We have some great merchandise, hoodies, scarves. We're getting the new scarves made. Got that in the works. Obviously, we're waiting for the Trophy Europa Cup. Sir, we've had a hell of a downloads the last 7 days. You want to go through the top cities here. It's Freedom Forward. Appreciate everyone who's downloaded and listened to the pod.
Appreciate everybody listening to the pod. Hope everybody's staying safe. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Lycans, Pennsylvania. Number two, Beach Haven, New Jersey. Number three, Los Angeles, California. Sir, keep us going.
Number four, Chirac. Number five, Santa Rosa, California. Arlington, Virginia. Sir, Hotlanta. Number seven, finish us off.
Sir, number eight, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you, Shireton. Number nine, El Paso, Texas. And last but not least, 10, Brisbane, Australia. Thank you, everybody who listens in every week. It is getting there. Squeaky bum time. That's what it's all about.
Hey, you know what? On Sunday, it all comes down to Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific. And as always,
kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue. We fought in Spain. We fought in Leicester. We fought.